Where did you go to high school?
We went to high school, Richard, no, that was junior high. San Pedro High School. I think it was just called San Pedro High School. And it was, you still have to cross the ferry. And then it was up on the hill there. But it was San Pedro High School.
Were there a lot of Japanese students there?
Well, all the people from Terminal went. And then there were some farmers, which is now Palos Verdes. There were quite a few Japanese farming in that area, so we met up with them too. I mean, we would get to know them, a few of them. But there were quite a few Japanese there.
So you would mix with the, I guess, the mainland Japanese?
Well. Not too much, but we knew a few, and we got to know a few.
Do you think there were any differences between Japanese that came from Terminal Island and then the Japanese that came?
I never thought that, you know. We just knew they were farmers and we were fishermen.
Right.
But, no. Yeah. Isn't that funny? And then after this war, and then we were, you know, we all went our separate ways, and now I see some of them now. You know, and then we talk about San Pedro. Isn't that something? But there's somebody in church that comes in, and this girl, whose brother was in my class, in some of the classes in San Pedro High School. He's now living in Gardena. But I asked her, I haven't seen him since the war, which is 60-something years. But the sister comes to our church, and I you know, talk to her about her brother sometime. But we were in several classes together. And that something after all these years, and then we end up in Southern California again.
So, in high school, were you involved in anything outside of just the schooling?
I really wasn't. Because, no, I wasn't that type of a, you know, friendly girl. I was not going.
Right.
So,
did you want to go to college?
I wanted to at that time, yes. But when the war broke out, I was a senior in high school. So our, you know, education, everything was just interrupted. And so everything was pushed out of my mind. My brother was attending Woodbury College in Los Angeles. And he had to cross the ferry and take the red car into L.A. every day. And he went to Woodbury College for how many years? Or did he graduate? No, I think he was going when his education was interrupted too. Yeah.
Do you remember if you did any dating during high school?
Oh, no. No, not in high school. Not ever in Terminal Island. You couldn't. You know, that I don't know whether Dave ever said anything, but that community, you do one thing and everybody knows. It's, you know, just in those days people were so narrow-minded and everything. Nowadays, nothing phases people, right? But in those days, and if you live in a Japanese community, you just didn't do anything that would make people talk about you. And look at our age. I mean, I was 17 then.
Right. When you're in high school, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do?
I wanted to go to college and you know, become something. I thought of nursing. I thought of you know, at one point I was even thinking of going into being a missionary, you know, and just to go to college to learn to be something or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to think that, but then 3 years I spent in camp just... I know some of my friends did. They became, you know, they went to college and became something.
Mm-hmm.
But I never... Once the the war broke out, I didn't think too much about college after that. I should have and pursued it. You know, if you want to do it, you can do it, right? But I don't know. I wish things had been a little different for me, but.
So what's your first memory of the war?
Couldn't believe it. I mean, I couldn't believe that people from Japan would do such a thing, and it was a frightening thing, and it was humiliating. I was ashamed. We were all ashamed to be Japanese at that point, you know? Especially living on that island, because the FBI people came on that island. They swooped down on us, took our fathers. You heard about that. Right away they came in, and they had a listing of all the people, fishermen. And I don't know why they thought that they were doing something to help Japan. In the first place, I told you that they used to shortwave, you know, the canneries. With a shortwave, they thought they were sending messages to Japan. All these things, you know, went on. And, you know, people had samurai sword, just souvenirs in the house. They thought they were using those. I mean, it, just everything. Cameras, they were confiscated. People were burying those things. They were afraid to even have people come in and take a look at them. Correspondence to Japan, you know, because my mother had her mother there, living there. But everything had to be burned. They were really afraid and ashamed at that point, because everything was used against us. You know, it was... So they got this list of all the men who were fishermen, and they rounded them up and took them away. That's why my father, who was such a meek man, he was taken away. He never would do anything like that. And I mean, you know, they're raising their kids in America. But here they thought that we had ties to Japan, and that we were helping them, short-waving to them and giving them all the information. Far from it, so it was a very frightening time for us. And then for us to be told to get off the island within 48 hours, leave everything, and leave. They don't care where we went, just so we left that island. And that was a very frightening thing. We didn't have cars. How are we going to get off the island, you know?
Where did your family go?
We had to go into a temple on East 1st Street in Los Angeles. They opened up their, the upstairs, they had a big temple there, and there were some, I think they used it for studies or something, but we just had to go there, and they laid cots for us, and we had to sleep up there for months at a time. But we could use the kitchen. They had a kitchen downstairs, fortunately, so we did our cooking. But about four families, they told us, you know, they would take in about four or five families, and that's how we spent our 4 or 5 months until we were sent into the camps.
What did you do during that 4 or 5 months?
Well, we went to school. We re-enrolled at, I went to Belmont High School in Los Angeles for that few months, because I thought, gee, well, we can't be just, you know, doing nothing. So, and they were willing to take us. So, but it was a very confusing time because, you know, I mean, new school, new people.
What was it like being Japanese at that high school at that time?
There were a few Japanese there. Belmont High School had, in fact, the student body president was a Japanese boy. A real tall, handsome boy was running that student body. And so, you know, it was okay. There were quite a few. But it was just a confusing time. I just don't remember too much about it. But we were new there. We only stayed for 3 months or something. and then we had to get out again. You know, it was just...
So where did you go from there?
They sent us to Santa Anita, the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in one of those horse stables.
Right.
Until they were ready for the permanent the relocation center.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for a little while.
So your family lived in a horse stable.
Mm-hmm. You know, I never told. When I was being interviewed, I never said anything about that Santa Anita racetrack. And I was wondering, how come I forgot about... But it was such a terrible thing. I think I just wiped it out of my memory for that while. But when they were talking about having a reunion of all the people that were at the racetrack, and there were thousands of us. But every year, they go to that place, and they're setting up a memorial, I think, right now, for the people that were there.
Right.
And then it came to me, my gosh, I spent some months there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I just wiped it out. I mean, living in a horse stable. In those cots with hay for our mattress, you know? And I thought, wow, no wonder I wanted to wipe it out.
Right.
You know, it was just eating in the grandstand. They had tables set up and everybody just going in there to eat. And whatever food they fed us, because the government fed us at that time. But
do you remember what type of food they
gave? No, I don't even remember. Nothing.
Nothing.
I just want to wipe it up.
Right.
I don't even remember what kind of food they... Gee, isn't that funny? You would think I would... But I remember a lot of people working on the... making camouflage nets there. They were helping out with the war effort even then. I remember the older people were all working every day. And I remember them working whatever they were doing with those netting. Weaving them, I think. Uh-huh. But we didn't do anything.
Were you still going to school at that time?
No, not in the horse stable. We didn't go. They didn't have time to set up schools.
So you weren't allowed to leave? And
oh, of course not.
Okay.
Just right in that area. There were security all around. We couldn't leave that place. No way.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Did you guys know where your father was at the time?
He was moved from New Mexico all the way up to North Dakota, you know? And we would get letters from him every now and then. We would know where he is, but then a lot of the letters were cut out. They were censored. They read every mail. And what something they didn't want us to know, they would cut out the... There were spaces between, I don't know. But we would know where he was. You know,
right.
What camp he was sent to.
Right.
But he was transferred from one to the other, too. All those men just in one.
So it was you and your mother and...
All
of your siblings?
Five siblings.
Uh-huh. What would you guys do while you were there? The children? You couldn't go to school?
No, we couldn't do anything.
Right.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. That's why I think my mind is a blank right now about that place. I don't know what we did. I just remember when we walked out to go to eat, I would see those people working on those netting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have helped too. I don't know who got the help. Maybe certain ages up, 21 and over.
Right.
I was only 17. You know, I don't know. Maybe you have to be at least 18. I don't know. Never found out.
Right.
It's confusing.
How did you feel about America at that time?
We were at war. I mean, that's all I knew, that we were the enemy.
Right.
We shouldn't have been, because we were born here.
Right.
Our parents, of course, you know, they were aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But we were born here, and we thought of ourselves as American citizens, but the way they were treating us, you know, it was just a shameful time, scary time. And I just didn't, you know, why are we here, you know, this way? why are we being treated like this?
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, people didn't fight for their rights, you know. We were afraid to. But with wartime, of course.
Right.
And now anything you do to people, why, you know, they have the... They're American citizens. They could, yeah, but in those days, no. We just did what the government told us to do.
So where did you go from the racetrack?
Then they started moving people into permanent places. We heard that there was a Manzanar place opening up, and people from Terminal Island could go to Manzanar. But then before that, my relative, my only relatives that were in America, were sent to Poston, Arizona. And they told us that if you want to be with your, you know, relatives, you could request to go to that camp. And so my mother said, well, we better go to Poston, Arizona, instead of going to Manzanar, which all the Terminal Islands people went.
Okay.
They all went in there.
Were they automatically sent there?
I think they were told that they could go. But everybody had to go into a camp.
Right.
So I think Terminal Islanders, most of them went, in fact, all of them went to Manzanar. We went to Poston, Arizona, thinking that, you know, our cousins, my auntie was there, and her husband was taken too, so we thought, well, we could be close to, well, we made a big mistake. There were three camps in Poston, Arizona, and they were in one, and that was all filled up. So they said that they had no place for us except Camp 3. And there were 10 miles difference, or 5 miles, whatever it was, from 1 to 2 to 3. And so, you know, I mean, it was placed separately. And so we ended up in Camp 3 in Poston, Arizona.
How long were you there for?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. What was life like in the camp?
Well, at least we got to go to school. They set up schools, you know, in those barracks. It was very crude, but they had desks and chairs. And I just had to finish off my senior year. So I didn't go to school but for 6 months or so to finish up and get my, you know, credits. So I went just to be going. I really didn't get to know everybody. It was all Japanese, but I just went for the few months.
Right. Do you remember what you did after school? Like once your time in school ended?
Oh, and then after I graduated high school, I started working in they called it the Poston Chronicle newspaper. They put out a little newspaper where I used to just type for them, you know. So that's where I used to go to work. And, everybody had a job.
Right.
My mother even had a job working in the kitchen. My brother was teaching school because he was, by that time, he had gotten his credential from Woodbury College. He was teaching business, of course. And then they brought in some teachers from outside, Caucasian teachers. But those who had college degrees, they helped teach school, you know. And so, but I had this job typing at the Chronicle office, just putting out a little newspaper, tubes newspaper.
How'd you get a job?
I don't know how I got it. They probably told us there were some job openings of different things. You could work in the kitchen. You could help clean the latrines. You know what a latrine is, you know. Or you can, different things they had, and I must have just gone to apply there for $16 a month. Everybody got $16 a month. Professionals got $19 a month, I think. My husband was a professional, and he got $19 a month. Examining eyes and making glasses. Doctors got $19 a month.
Wow.
Uh-huh. They had three categories. 16, or was it 16, 19, and 20, whatever it was. I thought 19 was the highest you can get. Anyway, but, you know, the government paid us. Mm-hmm.
What would you do with that money?
Well, you know, actually, you didn't need money there.
Right.
Because we got to eat there in the mess hall.
Right.
And I remember everybody, whatever money they had, we sent for it. It was Sears catalog, very great in those days. And people would send for things from Sears. And, you know, can you imagine 11 camps sending things to Sears, what they must have made in those days? You know? And but then, you know, maybe 30 people in the same block would be wearing the same dress, you know? $7 dress or whatever
right.
it was in those days.
Right. All the same dress.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That catalog was... was one of the highlight up there, you know, because there was no other things. We used to just go through that catalog, page after page.
Right.
And, whoa, boy, that, I don't know what we would have done without that Sears catalog.
Right.
That was so great in those days. Wow.
Did you go to church still while we were?
They had churches. They set up churches, you know. And I was still in the barracks, but they had churches. And they had Christian churches, they had Buddhist churches. So I went to Christian church, walked to the next block, you know, because our block didn't have a church, but the next block had it. So we would go, and Sunday mornings we would go to church.
How big was the camp if you walked from block to block?
Block to block? Let me see. They were putting quads of, how many units was it? Hey, you can make the whole round. I mean, if you wanted to exercise, you could do that. But it was, one section had all the Central California people, Fresno, Danuba, Visalia, I remember. Our camp was all San Diego area people. And volunteers, they call ourselves volunteer because we were all a mixture of people that went because of relatives in that camp. And then the San Diego people were there, and then a whole group of San Diego people in the other quad. It was a pretty big camp. When you think of, I don't know how many thousand, maybe 5,000 in this one little camp, 5,000 in the other, 10,000 in the other. You know, I think it was something like that.
What was the housing like?
It was barracks. You didn't see it at the Japanese museum?
Yeah.
There's one they brought in from one camp and they set it up. We set it up.
Long, simple building.
Black tar paper and holes in the knots of the wood. You know, so when the wind blows, all the dust came in and the house is white with dust. It was just a crudely made barracks, they called them. Uh-huh, with black tar paper and the wood thing, you know.
And were there several families?
We had one, there were six units in one barrack.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one. And then five other families lived in, each one took one. If it was an extremely large family, they got to have two units. But we only had one for the... for all of us. And by that time, my brother was in the army, my father was gone, so there were six of us, but we had just one unit. And the men, folks, we just put a sheet to cover, to separate the cots, you know, from the boys and the girls. Uh-huh. And we didn't have to have a kitchen because we ate in the mess hall, and that was it. And we had to put our own, make our own table, crude table, if you wanted a little table in the other living room section. Living room, it was just a one-room barrack,
mm-hmm.
no bigger than, maybe up to our china hutch, maybe not even that big. And not even a bathroom in there, we had to use a community bathroom. Shower in there, and you know, we have to go do our brushing our teeth, everything in that community bathroom.
Right. Would the people there, would you guys still celebrate like the Japanese holidays and traditional?
I don't remember. And if it weren't for the Caucasian from churches outside that sent in little gifts and candies into the camps, you know, mostly the Quaker churches, I understand, were really, Christian-like and compassionate. And they sent things into the camps during Christmas so they could help celebrate, you know. But I don't remember any celebration going on. What was there? There was nothing, you know. But I remember the little kids all got something. They couldn't give it to everybody, but at least for the little tots, you know, they were able to give them something. The little bits of candies and the little coloring book, things like that, balls and things that came in. Uh-huh. I don't remember getting anything myself, but for the little ones, they did that. So I thought that was nice. And I always remember the Quakers, what they did during the wartime, you know, to us. Yeah, you know, you remember those things. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other Terminal Islanders in that camp with you?
A few, very few. Very, very few. I heard they were in Camp 2, where my husband was. There were a few people. But I don't remember too many in Camp 3. So we had to start from scratch and make all these friends and get to know everybody. But that was nice. And we have reunion every now and then of camps. And then I see these people. We just had one this year in San Diego. Because, see, the majority of the people in our camp are from San Diego. So we met there. Uh-huh. It was nice seeing everybody again.
So what was it like when you left, finally were able to leave the camp?
That was another another threatening thing, because here we were in the comfort of a camp with all of us, and then all of a sudden we're told we had to get out into the world again, and that was a very difficult thing. We didn't know where to go. Fortunately, my three brothers had been in the army from camp, so we were able to come into Long Beach to get one of the housing, they call it Cabrillo Homes Project. They had three of those in Long Beach on Pacific Coast Highway, and so they told us we could, get one of those housing, small housing, but at least we had a place to come to, because otherwise we had nothing,
right.
Nothing when they told us to get out. So we came to Long Beach and rented one of the housing. But then again, all of us climbed in there, you know, into a small, they call them project in those days. One building with so many units in there.
Did your father return as well?
Oh yeah, my father came back to camp for a little while before we were sent out. He was finally released and he came to be with us in Poston. But by that time, my two brothers had gone out. Yeah, they were in the army. The two brothers were gone. The third brother joined the Korean War, so he was still with us. He was just a little youngster then, but my father did come back. Uh huh.
Do you know what did your father do once you guys came back to Long Beach?
To Long Beach, mm-hmm. He went into fishing again.
Fishing again. So what happened to the Terminal Island community while you guys were gone?
It was no more. The Navy had taken over,
mm-hmm.
And I think they must have tore all the barracks down, and it was a Navy, they called it Navy base, I think.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even want to go back there, you know, I know, some people did. I have gone into San Pedro, but I don't think I went into Terminal Island at all.
Since you've left?
I don't think I went in there. No, I haven't. don't think I did. I've gone into San Pedro, but then. I've been to naval, that naval, what do they call that naval? There's an officer's club there, maybe, there's a Navy Yard there,
right.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
And they had picnics in the naval section there. I've gone there, and then we had our class reunion, San Pedro High School class reunion, a couple of times. And I've been in there, but not into the Turbine Island per se,
right.
You know, not into the fish.